Blog Talk Radio.
Extremeness is here. XOHL, a view from the blue line. Sponsored in part by the Extreme Online Hockey League.com. Special co-host weekly. Call in show. Come hear the hits, the stats, the rumors, and the hot topics. Come be a blue liner. Let's be extreme.
Right, folks, we're back again this week. It's a live from the blue line, view from the blue line, live on the internet. I'm your host, Lacar22. Sorry, we got a little late start tonight. Why we have a late start? A little some technical difficulties getting things fired up. I'm not getting the best internet connection tonight, so I had to tweak some things. So welcome to the show. We're here. We're live. Castor and Pollock will be here shortly. Castor, the Hammer Pollock. He's running a little late tonight. We've also got a special co-host on tonight. Hopefully he'll call in here fairly shortly. I just sent you a PM with the number to call. And every week we're going to have a guest co-host. And this week is far not the one of the fun guys in the league. So he'll be on the air tonight to give us his input of what's going on. We'll have a sit-down fireside chat with him. We're also going to be talking about the All-Star Game. All-Star Series coming up next week. The nominations are out. People have sent in their nominations, and we're in the process of selecting the captains. We have three candidates for captains right now. I'll just leave that confidential right now, but we're trying to decide between two captains, and that'll be on Saturday, April the 11th, and that will be 8, 9, 10, respectively, I believe, in the times we have scheduled for that, 10 o'clock if need be. So all three captains said they will be around for April 11th, and like I said, if you don't know how it works, basically, the BOD send out mass messages to all the media staff, owners, and BODs included, and who their top five nominees, who they think should make the All-Star team, first team, second team, third team, and from those nominations, whatever ones are similar, they get compiled into a nomination list, and then we do draft style, so first team is picked, second team is picked, and then third team is picked. Now, the interesting fact about that is the first team is selected from a group of players for all those who've been nominated for first team. So that means those with the most nominations go into first team. Those with just nominations go into the second team. And those who don't get nominated at all, you have a chance to get picked up on the third team All-Star. So when they do the draft, the third team All-Star has the ability to pick from anybody in the league they want, that captain. And then they will face off in a three-game series, hoedown. And basically, that's how things go. So we're excited for that. Hope everybody's had a happy Easter, and I know we probably don't get a lot of people tuning in tonight with the Easter holiday and whatnot, but we are still back in full force. Games will be on tonight. We have made no changes to the games whatsoever. And so we have lots of opportunities to get some games in tonight, and of course we'll do the quick roundup. Some other announcements in the league. Awards time's coming up. Trade deadline is coming up, and of course, we start planning phase for season 5, and that will probably begin with us setting out a poll, basically, to see who is interested in running a summer season. Usually, it's a shortened season through the summer when we sit around and we wait for EA to rip us a new one in the asshole because we all sat around and wait for the next gen to come out on the Xbox One. Will it happen again this season? Hard to say, because we all know when we've all been rammered once too many times. So that's what's going on there. On the infractions front, we've had a few people, no major infractions this week. The hammer really wasn't pulling the hammer down, but I believe there were some players removed due to inactivity. And if you look at the week 5 infractions, we lost Snake, 4413, Blue Nosed, Doused88, and Rockstar. So those four players have the right to appeal that decision within 48 hours. If they do not appeal that, they will sit on the ban list for one season. They will end up taking a season off. I don't understand, guys. Why do you sign up if you don't want to play? So those are the people removed from the league. We'll talk about trades tonight. We'll talk about standings. We'll talk about league leaders. It's getting close now. We are now in week 6 of 8. Week 5 of 8. Jesus, what week are we in? I think we're in week 5 of 8. Let me just double check that. Somebody will probably correct me in the chat box here soon. We are in week 6 of 8, and don't pay attention to the stats because the first week was actually considered the preseason week. If you do the drop-down menu, we are now in week 6 of 8. That means next week is trade deadline. So will you see some big moves? We'll talk about the standings momentarily. I'm just kind of hoping to see if my special co-host calls in. I haven't heard from him yet. I did send you a PM with the number to call in, and you can give us a quick call when you get a chance. But in the meantime, let's take a quick break, and hopefully he'll be back by that time, and I'll throw some music out there for you guys to listen to. And this is Sloan, Money City Maniacs. That's right, folks. We're back live on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Cupcake McSprinkles. You know him as Stout Man Cupcake or Echo 9. Of course, he joins us every week to talk about himself and how awesome he is for his in-depth analysis. How you doing, Eichel? What's going on?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. We're back this week. We're getting down to the wire. I say playoffs have begun tonight for some teams. I think it's going to be an interesting show, and I hope you guys can tune in and stay tuned with us. I will bring my special co-host on the air tonight with me tonight. We're going to try to do this every week. We're going to get somebody in to co-host with us to give them their in-depth input. And ladies and gentlemen, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, my GM, Dinkus Maximus. What's going on, Dinkus?
Hey, guys. How you doing? How's it going?
Welcome to the show. Your first time here on the air. And right off the bat, I can hear your dog snoring in the background. So, folks, if you don't know, he's got a couple of bulldogs in the background, and they snore louder than my wife does. So it'll be interesting to see how this show goes, hearing them in the background. She didn't hear that. So, Dinkus, before we start things off, we'll put you on the hot seat just to get you so people know who you are and what you're all about. As you know, Dinkus Maximus didn't start off as the GM for the Montreal Canadiens. He was just a player and helping out there as a captain. And, of course, Seabass, the owner, made some changes at the helm with his assistant because Steve had stepped down, basically, due to not being available. Steve Ott, also known as something King now, Knockout King Punch. He changes his name every 5 minutes.
Shortcut King.
But, Dinkus, since you've taken the role over GM, the team has improved. And that's you've seen a better week this week and last week. So how you finding GM spot over there in Montreal right now?
Oh, yeah, it's a good time. I'm just glad to help out the team whatever way I can. Nothing too much has changed. Ott was a big part of the process, and I was kind of from the get-go made an AGM of the team of sorts. He got a new work schedule that made him feel like he didn't want to disappoint the team by not being able to commit as much time. So he kind of just stepped down. I stepped up a little bit, but he's still helping out the team a lot. And not too much has changed. We still have the same process for everything, and things are looking good.
Excellent. And since you've come aboard, I believe they had a really good week last week. I think it might have been, 6-1-1 maybe last week we went? I have to look at the figures.
Yeah.
Bryce, I'll draw your attention to Bryce Robin in the XHL by the numbers. He lays that all out for you. That's in your articles forum, so check that out. Good read. But, they went we had a good week last week, and kudos to us on that one. And, of course, as some might say, maybe because Kerdog was finally back. But he wasn't finally back like last week. There was actually a medical emergency with Kerdog. And he actually, I won't go into too much detail just for confidentiality purposes, but Kerdog, I know he's got it posted up on Facebook, so it doesn't matter. He's suffered a minor heart attack or a moderate heart attack and required to have some minor interventions there. So he's back now. He's going to be on the ice tonight, if I'm correct, both games?
Yep, that's correct.
So that's good. So
we
all wish Kerdog the best. And, he's not a young man anymore, and he's got to... And, his big message out there to everybody is if you smoke, quit, because you could end up in a hospital bed like he was. So I think that's a pretty good message. So, Kerdog, we're glad to have you back. You've kind of been our lucky charm over in Montreal. And I think somebody had said it there Thursday night when he was in. They said, we're going to win these two for you. And I believe we won those two, did we not, on Wednesday night?
Yes, we did. Boys stepped up. We had a couple fill-in goalies.
You stepped up in net against Nashville. And that was the story of the night, the story of the week. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy, that was fun. LeSaint was supposed to step in those games, and Seabass actually had to step in and play the 11 o'clock for him. But the problem was during the middle of that game, I guess LeSaint sent Seabass a message and said, I'm not going to be able to make the 12 either. And we were kind of stuck because Seabass by then had reached his maximum amount of games. And I don't know what it was, but on Tuesday night, I just decided that with the problem that we were experiencing with Kerdog, I'm like, maybe I should start playing a couple games in goal and just kind of get used to it and build my card up. next thing I know, I got to go on my first league game in net against Nashville, and they're, like, top line. So that was fun.
Yeah, so that made an interesting week and finished off the week and one out on a big team, there. And I know Nashville, they didn't have their best week last week, but they still had a good week. They went 3-5-0. And I called that last week. I said Legacy was going to be off the roster this week. He was serving a suspension this week. He can only play two games this week. Is it going to hurt them this week? But they only went. I think they have got them here at 3-5-0. Only picked up 6 points last week. So. This is courtesy of X Wage All by the Numbers by yours truly, Brace Robin. Actually, I believe he's got a nice little power ranking breakdown there this week. So 3-5-0 this week, and I called it. I said that was going to hurt them. They weren't going to play 500 hockey, and it worked out in your favor because, unfortunately, you had to play net against them, and they probably didn't have their best player on the ice. And, you know, they've got lots of good players, but we all know Legacy can contribute quite a bit. So since you've taken over the GM spot of Montreal, and how are you and Seabass working well together? You seem to be fitting pretty good.
Yeah. It's like I said, I was doing a lot from the get-go, helping out. I'm the one that pretty much puts the rosters together each week anyway. And then he goes in and improves everything. But, it's pretty much the same. We get along well. We guys are in constant communications on WhatsApp and making sure that we're filling in things where the other can't make it. And everything's going pretty smooth.
That's good. Now, one of the things I like to know, an observation is you guys have been fairly non-existent in the trade market. I think you moved the only big trade that you guys had was a couple weeks ago. You moved Dominic Forrest to Boston for Miz the Reaper, and there was two undressed guys. I think you're quite happy with that trade because I think Miz's first game, I think he scored 4 points in his first game or something like that. And he was a big addition to that
game. He's been phenomenal since coming over. He's been great.
And Domino was pretty much non-existent for us because of his connection issues. So, you guys, what it shows with the trade deadline like coming up next week, do you guys feel you've got the team to go into the playoffs right now, or are you going to wait out the rest of the week?
I think we're looking pretty set right now. We made a couple improvements this past week in terms of just getting some ECUs lined up. And we're looking to, just see what they can do. But overall, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We moved back into first place after a couple of rocky weeks, and it's kind of funny because without those, those little hiccups with availabilities for, basically our starting goalie being gone, we're still sitting in a pretty good spot against a lot of tough teams like Boston, Nashville, and a couple of up-and-coming teams like Winnipeg.
So looking at things right now, I know the mantra of your guys is most of your guys this season have been trying to maintain a 12-man roster, but this week you've gone up to 14. Any response to that?
We experienced some hiccups there. We ideally like to have a 12-man roster where we give our players 4 games apiece if possible. The problem that we were having was that a couple of our players' availabilities was clashing. With one another, or I should say lack of availability, because we'd have some defensemen that couldn't play certain nights, as well as a couple of right wings that we were having problems. So we just went out, and that's one of the reasons that Miz was brought in. We got an offer from Boston. They wanted Dominic Forrest and offered us Miz, and we felt that he'd be a good fit to come in as a fifth D-man, as well as the possibility of using him as a utility guy. And we made some moves just to kind of help us round things out so that way we could drop in a player here or there that we were confident in and had a lot of faith in. And that way, we can just move forward and not really worry about, what our lineup's going to look like any night. Like, all our players are solid guys and good team guys. So moving forward, I think we have a contender.
So you played five out of 8 weeks right now. We're going into the 6 out of 8 right now. Tell me, if the teams that are in here in E-Man League, I know it's small, who would you say your rivals are right now?
I'd have to say Boston's a big rival. We always have great games against those guys. There's always some chirping to be done throughout the week between a couple of their players and our players. Lucha's built a really good squad over there, and the games have come down to a lot of hard-fought battles with a couple bounces going both teams' ways here and there. So I think that's a good one. you know, whenever you're hearing that you're going to be playing Nashville that night, that's always a good game that you kind of step up for. You know that no matter who they have in the lineup, it's going to be a hard fought game. So I think those two are the big ones for us right now, and it also helps that they're always the ones that are constantly giving you the battle for that first spot in the standings.
Hey, last question for you, and then we'll move on to our weekly roundup. And the question is, a lot of people are saying that all those what they call quote unquote loser points have really helped us to be where we are today. So what kind of response would you give to the community on that, on the loser points carrying us where we are today?
On the loser points, I mean, a lot of our games, we actually battled and scraped our way back into the game to force a tie to get those extra points. I mean, if you look at the standings, we've got the least amount of losses of any other team in terms of regulation. So I think that says a lot for our desire to fight. And honestly, if you don't want to give us that extra point, well, then don't. Because, I mean, at this point, you've allowed us to take it. Just like we've turned over some points here or there, you gotta stop giving us that extra point, because we're just going to be a pain in the ass and just make our mark and take whatever points we can get out of you.
So from what I can gather, what you're basically saying to me is, fuck you guys, we're on top. Who cares if they're loser points? I don't see you on the top. Is that basically what you're saying?
Pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in this league, and there's going to be wins, there's going to be losses, and it doesn't matter. You know, the team that are getting the most points is going to be the guys on top. So until you take those points away from us, we're going to keep taking them.
Exactly. Well, there you have it, Deacons Maximus. Thanks for sticking around with us. You can give us your input on how you think things are going. It was nice to sit down and talk to you. You're going to sit with us for the rest of the show. Still waiting on Caster Pollock. We always like his comment. So, Caster the Hammer Pollock. So let's do the weekly roundup. This is a weekly roundup. We take the opportunity... review the points for the standings this week, and we'll get things started off. Stoutman, you've been quiet down there. I'm going to start off with the Chicago Blackhawks, of course. I called it last week. I said they sucked. Guess what? They suck even worse. They went 1-6-1 this week. It was worse than their record last week. They got two wins last week. They're doing nothing to get better. Maybe the trades. I don't know. But... I don't really know how much I can say how much more this team sucks. They did make some trades this week. They picked up Nazzy and I think who was the other guy they picked up? Nazzy. There was somebody else they picked up too. Why can't I think of it on top of my head?
Nisk,
former GM of the Dallas Stars. So Nazzy and Nisk will be over there. Will they help? A couple of forwards. They did get rid of Snake for an activity, or they're planning on getting rid of Snake. I don't know if they got rid of him. But he showed up and played one game, and I think you can attest to this, Dingus. I think there was a choice for Snake to sign between Montreal and Dallas, free agency the week previous, and he chose to go with Dallas. And what happened, I think, his first game, he what, let 10 goals in?
Yeah, he had a big two-digit game.
So, yeah, we kind of got lucky on that one. So, I guess the plan is Rapgod's going to step back and play goalie, and they're going to fill the two spots with forward. So, we'll see what happens. If there's anybody that could pull off goaltending for that team, it would be Rapgod by just looking at that roster. And I don't know if he's going to take the number one spot, because right now Rebel is just looking horrible. And, it's just they need to make some changes. What do you think, Stoutman?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they need to make a move.
Have they made enough changes to compete? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, they feel like they made some moves. They also made a trade with us. I mean, they're at a point where they've got 3 weeks to really pull together and try to get into a playoff spot. So if they think they have the pieces, and I still question, you know, whether, and I mean, I've spoken to Foxbrook and Miller about this. Sometimes you have to really look at the fact that you are friends with someone, and if it's not clicking and it's not working, sometimes you have to make that move. And I know Kessel is good friends with Foxbrook and Hendy, and I'm not saying that moving them would be a good move, but maybe moving them for another solid piece, you know, could have helped them out, a couple of weeks ago. But they want to stick with what they have, and hopefully for them, it gets them into a playoff spot.
I'm hoping so too. I mean Rap God's sitting with a minus 35. I mean, that just, it looks horrible. Nobody, there's only one person on this team that is actually above the zero, and it's Swiftke, and he's played four games. So I mean, they're not out of it yet. They're only 5 points out with 3 weeks left to go. It's still a long ways yet, but trade deadline comes up after next week, and that's it. You have to go. That's the roster you're going into the playoffs with. So, I mean, I don't think they did enough for trades at all, in my opinion. Let's move up to the board to the New Jersey Devils. Dinkus, what's your thoughts on Jersey? Let's give a rundown how they made out. They went 3-5-0 this week. I think you guys had a little bit better week than last week, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, pretty much same. You haven't really moved a spot, so you went 3-5-0 this week. I know you guys have been busy on the move front, moving here, moving there. Dinkus, what do you think's going on over in New Jersey?
I think right now they're looking for any opportunity to scrape and crawl their way up in the standings. They're watching what the other teams are doing and hoping that some other teams are helping them out by giving their closest competitors a loss here or there while they're trying to pick up some points. I know Eichel's trying to do a lot, working with Caster and the rest of his GM and everything else to try to turn that team around. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's a strong uphill climb, but I think there's definitely a chance for them to raise it up a bit.
A little bit of an easier schedule for this week. They don't have to face Montreal.
Yeah, we do.
What are you
going to
do?
Face you guys Monday.
Yeah, what do you got to do to keep this team on the go? Like, you played same as last week, but that's not going to work. That's not going to solidify you guys a playoff spot. You need to improve that 3-5-0.
I told the boys last week, I said, look, we're 1 point back at Dallas. We get them tonight in the first game. I told the guys, let's come out hungry, and let's go get this W, because I feel if we can pick up a win against them, and pick up a win against Nashville, I don't think they can catch us. I think we'll just take it away from them, and I don't see them coming back and taking that spot away from us.
Yeah, and moving up, let's talk about the Dallas Stars. They scored a whopping 10 points last week. They went 5-3-0. They had a fantastic week, probably their best week yet. Brace Robin actually ranked them 4 in his overall power rankings there. And, I'm very impressed with this team. Dallas, we were making fun of Dallas before they even drafted their team from what they picked up in free agency. Well, guess what? Rainbow Treasures might be proving some of us wrong. They're holding their own. They're in that last playoff spot. And if they continue to play the way they are, they're definitely going to make the playoffs. That's no doubt about it. As long as they keep playing well and the other two teams keep playing shitty, you have 5-3 weeks. 5-3-1 or 5-3-0 or whatever for the next 3 weeks, you're definitely going to be getting a playoff spot. Dinkus, you got any thoughts on the Dallas Stars?
Yeah, they had a great, great week last week. You got to give them props. If you look at overall their plus-minus, a lot of the guys are coming out of that minus rating, and they're really turning their team around. They had a tough game against us last week where the first period we completely dominated, and I think kept them to like 30 seconds down the attack. Suddenly in the second period, they came back to life and they put the pressure on us, caused us to take a lot of bad penalties, and next thing you know, it's a close game. So they definitely got the players and the talent down there to pressure a lot of teams.
And they were involved in that trade along with
Chicago Blackhawks.
Chicago Blackhawks. They picked up Nazi, and they picked up Oz Hochstra and Bobby Orr times 4.
Yeah.
They're trying to solidify their defense a little bit of what they need to do. I think they made a good pickup with Hoxter. He's been cold lately, though. He's a minus 14. Of course, you're going to be a low minus when you're coming from Chicago. It'll be interesting to see how these guys turn out. They also made another trade this week. Revitup Az and Bolts is coming over there. Is going over to Winnipeg, I think. Yeah, and they picked up horse hockey. And they also picked up Pisani. Now, Pisani, I call him the undressed bench man. Mr. Ride the Pine, 2 seasons, he's really been not given a chance. To be honest with you, from his performance in chat box tonight, I can understand why nobody wants to play this guy. All the guy does is bitch and whine and cry. Play me like he's some kind of Madonna, prima donna, good player. You'll get your turn, bud. Wait your time. I think I talked to Iceman last week, and Iceman told me, he said, Well, I was going to play him two games last week, but his response to me was, that's a slap in the face, so trade me. So, well, what can you do? What can you do? So,
well,
here he is.
In defense of, you know, where a lot of owners are looking at, this is a kid where he played on a team 2 years ago, or not last season, he played on a Toronto team, and you go back and look at his stats. I mean, the kid had more shots than goals. I mean, obviously Fountain and Montage didn't give him a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, but you can't go on
what
happened last season. It's what this season is. Bitching and complaining about getting your chance to play, wait your turn. He got an opportunity to play, and he turned it down.
If you're in a league and you say two games is not enough, I mean, at least you were getting an opportunity to play. Take that opportunity. Maybe if Iceman would have saw those two games and he would have performed and had solid points, then he would have brought him up the following week, which is this week, and had him in the lineup. But when you bitch and moan, it doesn't matter who you are. The owner is not going to give you your games because that's bullshit. Take the games that you're supposed to play.
Well, I mean, Iceman's already running a 13-man roster, and probably majority of those are forwards. He's got a few D-men. What does he expect, four games a week? I mean, most guys in the league, if you're running 13, 14, are going to average three games a week. You think you're that awesome that you deserve four games a week? Yes, just come right on my roster and play four games a week because you're that awesome. You got to earn your keep, bud. There's a pecking order, and you got to earn the pecking order. And for him to say something like, I just feel bad because last week I stuck up for him, and I basically said, give this guy a shot. Somebody try to give him a shot. And he basically spat in their face. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't like it, then you know where the door is. Let's move up down the line. We've got good job, Dallas, though. Maybe you'll be able to pull him up, and there he is. Maybe you'll be able to pull – there's the Bulldog. Maybe you'll be able to pull him up and do some work for you. But, again, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tell me about the Toronto. I'll give you how they went this week. They went 5-3-0 this week. Definitely playing good, solid above 500 hockey. These guys have been strong since Poison Killer's taken over. They've been a strong team. And what can I say about them? And, you know, some say they might credit Ploop for that, but they were doing great before the Ploop came on. So he's just adding a little bit more icing to the cake, in my opinion. What do you think, Stout?
No, I think they're a great team. Like you said, getting a guy like Ploop is a bonus. He's a solid player. You know, throughout other seasons in this league, picking up Purple Pickle is a solid pickup. Getting Slugger in waivers a couple weeks ago was a great pickup. They made a great trade with us in getting Rabid Wolverine, who's, you know, I think is one of the top defensemen in this league. That mentor as well is a solid defenseman. I don't know where Poison's playing, but wherever he's playing for his roster, it must be working for him. This is a playoff team. I don't see them falling out of playoff spot to, you know, either us or Chicago or Dallas. I think they're going to keep moving up the ladder. And congrats to Poison Killer. He's doing a hell of a job. And I would actually think that he's a strong candidate for owner of the year.
I've been saying that since day one. Now, of course, Rainbow Treasure is coming back, and he's playing really well hockey. I think he would be, maybe close to being in that race for Jack Adams this season. Who knows what you can do, Stoutman. You might turn this team around and make it to the finals, you know. Lots of opportunities for owners to step up and, really turn the team around and make the right moves. Nashville Predators this week on the board. They did not have a good week. Probably out of all the teams besides Chicago, New Jersey, they had a really rough week. 3-5-0. I called that last week. I said that with the missing of Legacy, that was going to hurt them. And sure enough, it did. Will it hurt them for the rest of the week? He's still got to serve at least three more games. He can only have two max games this week. So Nashville 3-5-0. They really weren't Nashville was one of those teams that you thought when you put your skates on. And before the game, everybody was a little jittery to play them because they got such a scoring forward power. Not so much anymore. They're just like any other team. Wouldn't you agree, Dink?
Yeah. I mean, they still have a lot of good players, so you got to watch out. But Mupp's put a good team together, so, you know,
no doubt about it.
It's one of those things. They're definitely a powerhouse. You just got to, you know, remember that any team can be beaten any day.
Well, only moves they made this week, they Krispy Kreme kids a trade in New Jersey. Yep, and they picked up Chelios and Thompson. Question is, will Chelios play for them? I know he was being a bit of a douche for you guys over in New Jersey. Was he not, still, ma'am?
Yeah, he was being a little bit, but hopefully he'll play for them. I think that's a good pickup for them. He's a solid defenseman.
We'll see what happens there. And interesting news on this team. Look at Holmes' rule. He's catching up to Tretiak. He's saying, fuck you for Tretiak for getting all the glory. Pass me all the pucks, and I'm putting them in. He's getting all the points. He's decided to change things up. 50 goals in 20 games. Holmes' rule, you got to be setting some kind of a record. You know what? As much as people bash and shit on Holmes' rule, and I don't like to promote other league sites because I'm not, but I will stick my neck out for him a little bit here. And, oh, I got a notification in an LG. When you look at the leaderboard right now for who's, top in the leaderboard for scoring, number seven there, if you notice, with 52 points is Holmes' rule. And that's in a league with, a couple thousand people? So, I mean, as much as people say Holmes' rule is, comes into these smaller leagues and dominates, well, you know what? I'm going to have to second-guess that, what people say. You know, as cheesy as he can be sometimes, as much annoying as he can be, the guy still knows how to work the thumbs, and it goes to show you. I mean, he's top seven over in LG, and he's catching up to our top scoring here. So, as much as people give him a hard time, and of course, you know what it's like. It's when you're on top, you take the shit. But Holmes' rule, you definitely can move the thumbs, and I think all the awards that you won in the XOHL were well deserved. Not everybody can put that many points. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, 50 goals in 20 games. I mean, that's, you have to admire that. I know he's taken 140. Look at the team. Look at the team stats there under shots. Every time I see that, I giggle. The closest person to him who has shots is the undershot kid with 77, and the next one up is Holmes' rule with 139 shots.
No,
oh, my God.
He's a great player. And,
no doubt about it.
It's difficult to cover him. I don't know. You know, I usually, when we go into games with them, I've asked Dink a couple of times, I'm like, how do you guys, how do you defend him? And, you just got to, like Dink said to me, you just got to get a body on him. Whoever's playing that right D spot, you got to get a body on him. Because a lot of these defenders in this league, they back off and they give him that room. And if you give him that room and that time, he's going to beat you like 99% of the time. Like, you got to get a body on the kid. And everybody who shits on him, you really can't because, you're letting him room and that time to shoot and score. So the only person you can blame is yourself defensively. So get a body on the kid.
It comes down to this. I mean, being good at a hockey game in a video game doesn't mean you're a good hockey player. You might have a little bit of hockey sense where to put the puck. The guy's good at the video game. You know, he's figured out how to play the video game, It's like somebody plays Mortal Kombat, and it doesn't mean they're really ninjas or whatever, karate experts. He's good at the game, man. He's been good at the video game. And, he might not have the best hockey sense as opposed to some, cycling the puck. You might just say, I'm going to shoot the puck as many times as I can and hope the odds are in my favor and pucks are going to go in the net. And it's working for him. It's working for him. He's only shooting 36%.
All you got to do is you can talk about how many shots that he takes all day. But that kid's got 139 shots, 36% shooting, and 50 goals are in the fucking net with 78 points, overall. He knows what he's doing. And that's your goal. You can't really talk about anything else because right now, until you stop him, he's the guy.
Oh, for sure. For sure. What other goals? I've even asked other people, how do you stop this kid and put a body on him? And you can go into games. I've gone into games on our team, and I've told our right D, get a body on him. And it's almost like some defensemen, they hear you say it, and then they go into the game and they do the total opposite. It's almost like he has like a hypnosis on you, and you can't make a play on him. It's like you're watching him do all these things and score.
The Crocodile Dundee, man. You fucking
Let's
move up to the Boston Bruins. We've got the Boston Bruins here. They're sitting at 54 points, just a point behind Montreal Canadiens. What can I say about this team? They've been consistent all season long. They haven't changed their game plan. They got lots of money in the bank. 27-13 and 0, haven't lost in overtime yet. What's impressive about this team is they are hard-hitting, penalty-taking, But I don't know how their penalty kill went last week, but they're at the top of penalty kill. So they can afford to take a few penalties because they're killing them off. And, you know, this team, this is a big hurting team, man. And, you know, we like I said, when I play against these guys, it's an intense game. It's a close and intense game. They're too, like I said, you know, what do you think, Dink? Do you agree?
Oh, they're definitely a tough team. They're another team where they have a solid lineup, and you never know who you're going to be going up against each night. They can put up some points, you know. Williams, Holmes, they got a lot of good players, and I mean, you can just take it to them, and you got to worry. You can get through their defense, but then you got to worry about Schmitty in the back end. So it's they're a tough team to play against.
And you know, I mean, they're definitely. And I apologize. I'll get back to Winnipeg when we. I kind of skipped over them, but you gotta. I mean, I'll call it now. Boston's probably going to be one of those two top five teams this week, this season. Just the way they've been playing, they've been consistent. They haven't played below 500 hockey. As long as they can keep it up, I mean, Lucha's built a phenomenal team here. A very defensive team. A very hard hitting team. And you know, they're not an easy team to handle. So if you're of the mantra that build defense first and the offense will come, well, these guys have done that. And you mean you can't count the fours out either. They're putting pucks in the net too. They're just a well in-depth team. And you know, I have no doubt that these guys are probably going to go in that by those two top spots at the end of the season. They're 5-3-0. They had probably one of their worst weeks they've had thus far this season, but even their worst week was good. So, kudos to the Boston Bruins. Let's move down to the Winnipeg Jets. I left them Iceman. Last week I talked them up and thought they were doing awesome, and apparently they had a shitty week. So I was told by Iceman, don't talk good about us this week because we didn't have the best week. Well, they went 500. They went 4-4-0. Well, all I can say is, you know, I guess not have a good week or have a good week. I mean, they've been pretty much sitting in the same spot for most of the season. They really haven't moved much. I mean, back and forth, they were in the bottom part in the first two parts of the season. But, Stoneman, you know, what's impressed me on this team is their offensive as well. I mean, you know, we got Holmes and Tretiak over in Nashville putting the points up. But I'm going to tell you this, Jay Reznik and Lito, those guys are doing it too. And they're not far behind.
Reznik is a killer. We played him. We had to play Winnipeg back to backs on Wednesday last week. This kid is phenomenal. Put the puck in the back of the net. Is a playmaker. Can pass the puck. He's a solid player, and the numbers speak for himself. You know, he's right up there. He's in third place, 71 points, 29 goals, 42 assists. Is a plus 25. Like, he is, for them, he's one of the reasons why that team is having a successful season.
Yeah, exactly. I tend to agree. And Winnipeg is actually, everybody's in a fight right now. Somebody made the comment there last week that everything is so close. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, as far as Chicago goes, where Montreal is it probably stretching, but mathematically it's not impossible. But, you know, you look down the line, 55, 54, 49, 46, 41, 36. It's going to come down to the final two nights of the season. Who's going to be wearing what, in my opinion? It may come down to the last night, in my opinion. We might even have a tiebreaker, you know what I mean, to determine seedings. And just remind you guys, two top teams get a bye. The next four top end up moving to the first round, and the last two in the league end up not making the playoffs. It's going to come down to the last night. Everything is so close. But to Winnipeg, I guess, keep up what you're doing. You know, as far as Jay Reznik goes. You know what's cool about this guy, Jay Reznik? You know, guys are putting up points like this. Like Holmes Rule, yeah, he can score. He's a douche. And he knows he's a douche, and he doesn't care if he's a douche. But Jay Reznik, I got to play a game with him the other night, just dropping. Cool as shit, man. Doesn't brag about himself. Doesn't talk himself up. He just comes and plays this game. And that's pretty cool, in my opinion.
I think it's pretty cool, too, that Lito there is shooting at 49%. Going into last week, he was sitting around 50%. And when he played us that one game, every goal seemed like it was going in, and you're still shooting 50%. That's pretty impressive for a player in the league that's played 22 games and has got 68 points and 146 hits. That guy is a very well-rounded player.
Well, I don't want to sit like I'm talking about my own team, so we'll let Stellman talk about the Montreal Canadiens because they're the one that gave them the most pains in the ass last week. Montreal, of course, best team of the week last week, went 6-1-1 with the semi-return of Kurdog. What's going on over Montreal? What's working? What's not? In your opinion, Stout?
Well, like I said last week, I know you, Lacara, were saying, you know, you guys were really looking for some big time stats from the brothers. Affirmed data: 18 points, 18 games, 57 points, plus 11, 28 goals, 29 assists. Like, the kid's playing phenomenal for you guys. Jay Habanero had a chance a couple times to play some drop-ins with him. He's a phenomenal forward. You guys are just playing at a high level. The team is working together. I don't really see a lot of movements that you need to make, like Dink was saying earlier. I think this team is good to go into the playoffs, unless Dink or Seabass see some other move that they really want to make. But I think this team has a great chance of winning the championship. Hopefully Kurdog can come back from his heart attack safe and sound. Hope you get better, Kurdog. I think this team is going to make some moves in the playoffs. Hopefully you guys will be in a championship.
Some of you look and say, well, Jesus, maybe it's a goaltending issue why they're having these losses. Look at our goal. I mean, Kurdog, you know, he was on IR for a week there, and this week he was kind of, because he was having issues. But, I mean, look at their records. I mean, LeSaint alone, I mean, he's been a big issue over in the team, not showing up, not post, you know, just being wishy-washy, so to speak. But when he does show up, he went 6-1. You know, 6-1. I mean, that's pretty impressive. He's got a 2.8. I mean, if they could just get this guy to show up for his games, you've got an early night goalie and a late night goalie right there, and that could basically carry this team to a cup championship. And I mean, it's too bad that we can't get more games, because I know Kurdog, he only likes to play the early games just based on his employment. And a dual sharing with these two goaltenders definitely could solidify these guys, top spot in the league for the regular season as well as a playoff spot. I think that's the only tweaking that needs to be done.
Yeah, also shout-outs to Seabass and Dink going with no regulation losses this week in Nets. Congrats to you guys. That's fucking...
well done, sir.
I would never see the day that Seabass plays four games in Nets and goes 3-0-1. Congratulations to you, Seabass. I didn't know you... how did he need to play in Nets, and Dink to play against Nashville and win a big game like that. You gotta give shout outs where credit's due. So congrats to you guys on that.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll have a little play a little tune there, and when we come back we'll move up to player individual stats for the week. So let's listen to a little Trues, Not Ready to Go.
There's a dance.
We got The Trues, Not Ready to Go. You can buy their album. They're in stores now. I'm your host, Lakari22. Welcome to the Blue Line. And we've got our new other co-host. So it's running late these days. Ladies and gentlemen, Caster, the Hammer Pollock, and the hammer is not any way construed to be a penis. What's going on, Caster?
Are you sure about that? Hey, what's up?
Well, it might be shaped like a penis, but whatever.
It still fucking gives you a pounding.
So we're here with Caster. We just ran down the teams, Caster. We're just about to talk about. I was going to run down the standout players for the week, and then we'll talk about who our favorite players of the week were. So let's do it. Standout players. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can view the standout players. I do this every week just to give everybody a shout out. That's an SES commercial break music. Well, standout players this week, and, you know, this is judged by the site. I don't know how it calculates this. I'm thinking fancy, but this week's standout players, Tradiac X20, Defensive Forces season, 23 goals, 56, 79 points. Honedro right behind him, though, with 78 points. Could we see a change in the lead for the overall points? I don't think we've seen that yet this season. We may see it at the end of this week. Defensive-wise, of course, Omni, a.k.a. Animal Mop. He's been one of the best. He's got a plus 30, 18 hits, one of the top D-men in the league right now with 5 goals, 33 assists, and 38 points in the season. National Predators, Omni. And Chews News Brews. Another one from Boston, one of the top blue liners there. Where he's got a plus minus 25, whopping 41 hits, 2 goals, 15 assists, for 17 points in the season. I'll never make that list. Ranta X31, one of the top goalies this week, went 5-7 with 13 games played. That's not right, 0.43 goals against average. I don't know how anybody could score half a goal, but wow, this system is fucked. And of course, Smitty's on this list.
I think it's because some people don't know how to enter stats, right? That might be, I don't know if Seabass fixed that yet, because I think them in Nashville weren't involved in a game where Seabass or his GM gave the goalie 5,300 and something goalie minutes or something.
Holy smokes! Wow.
Yeah. Something really like the second or third time that's happened this season.
Wins, 10 losses in this season, posting a GA of 2.5. Our number one goalie has been pretty much throughout the season. He's been playing hot. And ladies and gentlemen, Dinkus Maximus, 177 hits, 21 penalty minutes for 21 penalties for 55 minutes. In Skull Degree, he's also got 154 hits with 20 penalty minutes. And there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, our standout players of the week. Right, that's that part of the show where the panel and I get to discuss who we like this week, and I knocked it down to you can tell one who your favorite player and who your worst player this week was. We've got four here on the slate, and you can give some honorable mention up, but let's start with you, Caster. Who did you like as a player this week? Goalie, skater, defenseman, doesn't matter who you like.
As far as forwards concerned, I have to give a shout out to Dahmer. Played 5 games, 20 points. At Minus 8, it's kind of painful to look at, but on a struggling team, it's not surprising. At 35 hits, one of the only forwards to really give Skull, except for A1 Freak, a battle for that top hits for the week. Very good player as far as forward. And there's obviously a lot of guys from Boston. Chronic did very well. It's plus minus, plus 17, 16 points. Breather played. Got him as a defenseman, but he only played one defensive game. He played mostly as a forward, 17 points in 4 games. Played pretty well. Defensively, Shepard, a very good guy. Played very well. Had 12 points at minus 15. Again, is painful, but all our plus minuses in New Jersey are struggling. As far as goalies concerned, Smitty again, 5-2, 2.86, almost an 81 save percentage. He continues to be on top of his game. I got to keep giving it out to him. Other than that, you know what I mean, the rest of the goalies are pretty much about even. So as far as dominant goalies, Smitty would still get the nod this week. As always, two shutouts as well.
There you go. There's Caster's best players of the week. Who didn't cut it for you? One player. Just one player who didn't cut the mustard this week. Who was it?
I have to give that out to my boys Rebel and King Direwolf. Direwolf almost a five and a half GA, 65 save percentage. Rebel right down there with him, 6.72 goals against average, 63 save percentage. You know, Rebel didn't even net a win. Those boys, hopefully they can get back on top of their game this next week.
What about you, Dinkus?
Nah, man, there's a lot of good players that stepped up this week. I'm going to have to agree with Dahmer. He kind of, once you called him out, he kind of stepped it up and did a lot for Jersey and earned that money. That was great. Another player that's kind of went unnoticed, and even though he played two games this past week, but Bursting Fungus had a heck of a week. For two games, I think he had like 13 points or 9 points. Yeah, 9 points. 4.5 a game. That's pretty impressive for a guy that's getting spot play. That's always good to see when players can come in and do something in the limited games they get. So that's impressive. I think Rebel and Direwolf definitely need a bit of a break to reset and get their heads back, because they're two very, very strong goalies, and we all know they can play better than that.
What about you, Stoutman McSprinkles?
First of all, I'm going to start off with forwards. I'm going to have to give it out to my big brother from the Boston Bruins, Mr. Willie, X12, 14 points, plus 12. Dahmer as well, helped us big time this week. Goalie-wise, you can't go wrong with Smitty, and then I'll go with the other guys, goaltending-wise, Direwolf, and I forget who the other goalie was. So, step your game up this week, boys.
I'm going to have to give a shout-out to the old Ploop this week, just because the old Ploop is trying to make as best a gain as he can for the Million Dollar Man as best he can. He put out 16 points in four games this week. He's averaging 4 points a game. And he's doing really well, and I'll give that out to him. This guy here we don't talk about as M.M. Holmes for the Boston Bruins. He's another pretty solid player. He's helping that in-depth roster. He's got a 7-9, 16 points in three games this week, so kudos to him. He's another guy. And, of course, I talked about Lito in the game. We don't talk enough about him enough. He's been pretty solid for the Winnipeg Jets over there with a whopping 15 points. As far as defensemen go, my favorite category, looks like for rocking the defense aspect of it, Shepard, pretty strong for you guys over the Devils. He got 11 points. Still a minus 9, but I think he's trying to clean that up from Toronto. And, of course, you guys had a couple big games. And I have to give a shout-out to a Rainbow Treasure, too. He's played four games this week, and he gets himself 7 points. And not only for defense purposes, but also for ownership purposes, for helping pull that team out of the toilet. And congrats to him. And, of course, my boy, Miz the Reaper, made his debut in Montreal this week. He got a whopping 10 points. Miz, all week he's been going on. That's all I hear about how great he is and people giving him a chance. Finally, we gave him a chance. He played five games. He got 3 points. That's five games for a defenseman. That's why he's got 10 points. But anyway, he had a solid week last week. Pretty defenseman trying to play forward, apparently, with 10 points. But good job to you, Miz, and carry on the good work. And, of course, we talk about him every week, Smitty. Smitty this, Smitty that, yada, yada, yada. Yes, he's a great goalie. And really, there's no one really that's comparing to him right now as we speak. Maybe Kurdog, he went 2-1 this week. But Smitty's been holding his own. But I want to talk about what I want to talk about is LOL Tyler from the New Jersey Devils. Because when I can remember it plain as day, the night of free agency or whatever it is, I could see his words saying, "Wait till I come to this league because I'm going to dominate and I'm going to win the Vezina." Well, it's been 2 weeks, bud, and you have done nothing, sir. You have done nothing. So here's my call out to you, because apparently when I call people out, they miraculously seem to do better the following week. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he had like a magical power or something, Lekar, because Dahmer, 20 points last week.
I know.
And And after every game, he would say in the party, make sure you tell LaCara what I did.
So there you have it for me for your best players of the week. Let's talk. Well, since we're here, we just got done talking about him. Let's have a look and see what the old Million Dollar Man's been up to. Old Million Dollar Man. Well, we know what he did this week.
Everybody.
Crack the. Set my defense here. Let's go. Oh, the old Million Dollar Man cracked the top five, actually. What's he doing overall? Where
we at? 13 games, 43 points.
By the way, he changed the rules. And at first it was, I think he's in the 40s now. Points. Yeah, he's at 43
right.
points. That's faster than 43 points. Turn this down a bit. So he's creeping up, and we changed the rules last week. I don't know, Castro, you weren't here, but we felt cracking that top five might be next to impossible for him. So basically, all he has to do now is beat Eichel during his paycheck. That's it. So Eichel, he's 43 or 54. It's coming up, buddy. But he's moving up in the standings week after week. Just he might even crack the top 10. He might even crack the top 10. He could. It could be possible. If he can crack the top 3, he should definitely win MVP. So we talked about it earlier in the show. We talked about a little bit about the. We'll talk. That's going to be tonight's topic of conversation. But first of all, we have to settle one thing left, one segment left in the show before we move into. Of course, the game time, which is coming up in 20 minutes. And I want to talk about, Freak Out of the Week, of course. And I think we had a couple of nominees here, and one especially tonight. I can't find my song here. I think somebody removed it. But anyway, there it is, Freak Out of the Week. Yep, this is the week take. Every week, usually Luke wins this one, or Foxbrook. We've got a few of these awards this week, this season. But I'm going to have to say, we got quite a few nominees. Caster, give me a nominee.
Usually Bassani and Iceman. Those dumb motherfuckers.
Yep. Bassani, Iceman. This has been an ongoing issue with Iceman since day one. Ever since I met the guy in EHL, for some reason, I shouldn't be saying this because it's probably going to get everybody all worked. They're going to do it more now. He gets so upset when somebody makes fun of his spelling. I don't understand. Like, it's just, and the guys will do it to him on purpose to get him worked up.
Yeah.
MN Holmes made a comment tonight there earlier. It's like, geez, Iceman, I guess you would never take a job as a stenographer. I'm pretty sure Iceman didn't know what a stenographer was, so we had to go look it up. And, of course, he came back and jovial
response
with...
Probably still couldn't find it because he couldn't spell it.
Well, you don't need to spell with Google these days, bud. You know that. Actually, Google has made everybody's spelling more horrible, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Stoutman, you got a nominee for Freak Out of the Week?
I haven't really been around to see anything, so I'll just stay with what Caster's nominees were.
Well done putting the work in. Next, what about you, Dinkus?
Nah, I've got to go to Bassani, Caster.
Yeah, I would have to agree, Bassani. Tonight was basically I had to rip into him a little bit because he insulted the league, of course, saying that we were dumb and made the decision to pick Iceman as an owner. Whether we were dumb or not, the decision was made. And last week on the radio show, you guys heard it all here, I praised this guy up so somebody would pick him up, so somebody would end up giving him a chance. Iceman must have heard it, offered him a couple games this week, and he just basically, nah, I don't want to play 2 games as a slap in the face, why don't you just trade me? Well, my fuck, man, this guy, what a whiny bitch. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
No longer Lee Scout, served a one-hour chat ban. It is what it is. He's sitting on the undressed bench. He is the Ride the Pine King. He's been there for pretty much 2 seasons. Feel bad for the kid, but if you're going to act like an asshead, nobody's going to want to play you. Plain and simple. Nobody wants an asshead on their active roster. Unless you're Nashville, you want home schooled. Unless you're Taco Sunday. Look what happened to Taco Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
He got traded more than I'd change my underwear. I mean, fuck.
In his defense, you don't really change your underwear.
Just saying. Funny motherfucker. Let's talk about it. Talk about tonight's hot topic.
You know, taking a bath with your underwear on isn't necessarily cleaning it, right?
What's that called? I have a never nude. I have a never nude issue.
Yeah,
I can't be never nude. I'm going to play a little... Little segment. If you guys missed it last, we had a special segment show. I'm going to play this little segment here for you guys. And tell me what you think.
Comes a silly day. It's on April 1st.
Hey!
There's a lizard on your head.
Hey! There's a donkey in your bed.
Hey! All your teeth are turning red.
I played a joke on you.
You drank water instead of pop.
Hey, that's not candy, that's a rock.
Hey, there's an ice cube in your sock.
I played a joke on you.
April Fool's Day, April Fool's Day. It's a great, great day for playing a joke.
Hey, there's a spider in your hair.
Hey, there's a dragon on the stair.
Something's underneath your shoe.
Hey, looks like Elmer spilled his glue.
Hey, wow, the milk got really blue.
I played a joke on you.
So yeah, if you're wondering why I played that this past week, April Fool's Day, I tried to take a stab at trying to trick the league. Apparently some people thought I was didn't work, they didn't get them or whatever. But I still like to make the fact that what happened was, shut the fuck up, Caster, let me finish. Happened was, just all of you shut the fuck up. I thought it was well thought out at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't think anybody would notice. I put my resignation as commissioner. I did fool some people. And I must have fooled enough people because when I put the radio show out for to basically say you guys are all losers for believing me, I had the most views of all the shows I've ever had. So there must have been a lot of dumb motherfuckers out there.
There are.
That's all I can say about
that. I think the only
the most
thing
I've ever had tune into the show
was
79 people live. There was 84 people archived. It had beat the record for the most people listening for the show. So fuck you. I tricked somebody. All I know is I got Iceman. Iceman was freaking out, fucking sending me Facebook messages like crazy. So fuck you. Let's talk about the All-Star game. We got three candidates on the board. For captains of the All-Star team, those will be chosen tonight. But actually, the announcements will be made tonight. And the deadline for the nominations to be submitted is at 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, and the draft list will be released this week. All-Star game on Saturday, All-Star series. So the question I want to ask my panel today is, we've got about 20 minutes, you can call in. What aspects do you see in a player for being an All-Star? Because this is always the big contention. Every league that I've ever been in, people are like, well, we don't want to have an All-Star game because it makes people get their feelings hurt. I was like, whatever. People get their feelings hurt all the time in leagues, whatever. Oh, who didn't pick me in the All-Star League? So what, let's say, Caster, I don't know, were you a captain of an All-Star team at one point? I know Stoutman was.
No, I've played on him, but I haven't been a team captain.
You played on one?
I've always been an
Stoutman,
owner. What's that?
Stoutman, you've done captaincy of an All-Star series before. As a captain, when you go into the draft, what qualities do you look for? Let's say, for example, for an All-Star forward to be your that first-team All-Star. What do you look for?
What you've done so far in the league. It's not always – see, a lot of people will probably pick stats or probably pick teammates first, you know, which is understandable. But, you know, I look for the guys that, you know, I've worked hard this season. And, you know, I really like the guys that have come in late and are starting to climb the ladder in points.
You don't always have to go for the top guys in the league, so that's what I look for. That's what I look for when I was doing it. So.
You make a very valid point for guys that have come late in the league. You know, they don't really get a chance. But you also have to think, you know, guys that have been here from the day one, should they deserve a shot over somebody who's been picked up with 3 weeks left in the season? You know, I mean, they've been here, they put the time in. What do you think, Dinkus? If you were a captain of an all-star team or whatnot, or you don't have to be, you know, an armchair coach or whatever, what do you think is important for picking up what consists of a good player to be on that first team all-star?
Consistency. I think it comes down to that. I really don't care if you're on my team. You're not going to get picked, you know, for an all-star team just because you're on my team. That doesn't work for me. I believe that you pick the players that have put in the time and are being consistent, you know, week one through now. And for the players that came on a little late, you know, as long as your numbers are consistent, especially with the games played, I think your numbers are going to stick out. You know, when you play in these games against these guys, like you were saying, it's not always just about the numbers, but you can make an impact. And with the you know, the captains, if you make that impact, you're going to get picked.
Caster?
Yeah, pretty much. Statistics part of it, but not solely into it. Like, you know, I would want to build a team that I know if I go against another all-star team, they're going to beat them in a series. Like, some of the top players aren't necessarily good team players. You can't just throw them with whoever and then, you know, they're going to click together. Like a Hones rule wouldn't be on my all-star team. You know what I mean? Because he's going to try to steal the show, and your team's probably not. If you're going against a good set of defensemen, and Holmes Rule is shooting all your shots, then it's just not going to work. You got to look at how a player plays, if they can produce how they play, and if they're going to click together with other people. And that's what I would, you know, when I go into building a team, that's what I would look at. You know, goaltending is goaltending. You can almost look at the numbers of that and stuff like that. I kind of look at the teams that are on, stuff like that. Defensemen, the same thing. You know, you kind of look to see, you want offensive defensemen with a defensive defenseman, all that kind of stuff. But as far as forwards are concerned, you want somebody who fulfills each of those forward positions and the responsibilities they have. And you can't really tell all just by points how that is. You should be scouting as the season goes along, just in case that ever happens.
So another question that came was brought to my attention in regards to the All-Star game. The question is, should the captains be required to play? Could they pick their teams and set lines and coach them as ability? Should they be required to play?
I think it would be interesting, Pastor, if the captains didn't play at all and they just built a team. You know what I mean? And then just kind of built the lines out there and, you know, kind of had them at it. Like, and as far as I'm concerned, as an owner, I don't like to play every game. I would rather just build a team that's going to be successful and let my players go out there and win games. You know, maybe an all-star game should be like that, you know?
Well, that's a question that you could ask for almost the regular season in itself, too. Maybe there's some people who like to play versus, and there's some people that like to play GM connected. There's some people that like to play BFGM. You know, is it possible in future leagues, you know, to give that option for owners not to have to play in this league if they feel like they don't want to? I mean, it could be an option. Do you think it's possible to have them as an option at somewhere down the road where owners don't have to play?
I honestly was going to explore that this season, honestly, before I took BOD. I was like, I wasn't sure what was going on with work and all that kind of stuff, and I was thinking of actually taking a team and then just putting myself on the undress bench and then just drafting a team, putting the lines together, and all that kind of stuff, making sure I had a GM that could do stats and have people send me stats and stuff like that. And I wasn't going to play. I was just going to build the team. But I wasn't sure if that was going to be fair to the team to do that. And so I didn't do it. But I think that could easily be a viable option if someone wants to do that, as long as they're willing to put their time in to do the other management stuff they're supposed to do. I don't see why it would be a problem.
No minimum games required.
I think you should be able to undress yourself. You're still on the roster. You know what I mean? Why couldn't you be able to do all that stuff? As long as, as long as you can fulfill the management side of it, why couldn't that be an option? You know?
Exactly. So we'll open up the phone lines. We only got about 10 minutes left. If you want to call in, no one ever calls in. 646-716-81472. Let's talk about tonight's games, and we'll give a quick matchup of the first game tonight anyway if we've got some time. We've got Dallas and New Jersey. Walt, since you're playing in this game, both Castor and this is a must-need win for you guys. This will not a must-win, but it's a big win for you guys. This will bump you up in the standings ahead of Dallas. Looks like they're going to put Sky, their big line out against you guys. Hoxer's going to make his debut. What do you guys think your chances are for this game?
Well, I'm not in that game, but it's kind of interesting. Bob Matic hasn't really played with the team, but we have a strong defense pairing out there. I think Tyler will get back on top of his game. That forward section from Dallas has been playing really well, so it just depends on how our back half goes against their front half, I think. I think we could give Dallas a fight one way or another.
Well, you got Iceman and Jay Resnick betting against you guys tonight. What do you think, Stoutman?
You know what? This is a must. I told the guys last week this is a must. I talked about it all last week. I told the boys, I said, this is where we turn the season around right here. Go and beat them. And like I said earlier in the show, I think if we beat them tonight, and we find a way to beat Nashville, I don't think they can catch us. I think we're just going to keep moving up, and they're just going to not be able to catch us. So that's the way I feel about it.
Well, if my memory serves me correctly, I think the last time you guys played the Dallas Stars, you were at home. They beat you 6-2. Let's hope we don't see the same result from that game tonight. Chicago and Nashville, the worst playing against Nashville. Do they have Legacy in the lineup tonight? No, he's not in the lineup tonight. It looks like they may be saving him for the end of the week. He does have two games he can play this week. But they put Henderson and Nazi and Swift King, kind of a mix-and-match line. Nazi's going to make his debut. Rap God's going to play a step back between the pipes. You know what? I bet you the odds are fucking in favor. Some big cash is to be won on the Chicago Blackhawks here. And it looks like Bassani puts a whopping $790,000 on Nashville. Fuck, that's a lot of money he's going to lose.
Chicago
takes that. Iceman put $500 down on Chicago, so that'll be interesting to see there. What do you think, Dickus? Who's going to take this one?
Sadly, you're four. I should have given myself five.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game for Chicago. They got to come out big, like I said before. Any player that Nashville puts on the ice, it's still going to be a good lineup. It's an uphill battle there, but if they can pull out a win here, it's a way to spark the rest of your season.
Yep, exactly. We got heavyweight versus a middleweight here in the third game tonight. Boston Bruins at home to the Winnipeg Jets. Looks like they got the big line out against the Boston Bruins. Big line out against for the Winnipeg Jets. Smitty versus Disco. This is probably going to be the most interesting game of the night, in my opinion. I know that Winnipeg can really put a damage into Boston when they can't want to. What do you think, Castor? Who do you think is going to call him with this one?
Nobody's
been on this one.
Yeah, with that lineup, I think Boston has a stronger lineup. With Duck on Quack been not showing up or hasn't seemed to be around, I wouldn't be surprised if they slide D-Rad into that game. They put D-Rad in that game. That's two pretty good lineups against each other. I just think Smitty's the better goaltender out of the two as of late, so I think it goes to Boston, the edge.
Boston goes the edge. And the next one is the old ever-so rival, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. I'm just trying to look back in the schedule to see the last time we played Toronto, what the score was. Actually, I think we beat them 6-3. But they can give us a hard time for some reason. They always have. They'll face off against tonight in the fourth installment of the game, the early game tonight. Why is there no lines in this game? Because I'm looking at the wrong week, you retard. Looks like we're going to have a firm data short King Seabass. You can't beat three in Dominides. Diomedes, whatever you want to call it, D1, up against Forsberg, Smitty, and TP Blue. So they're putting out a fairly big line against them. And basically, I think this will probably come down who can score the most. That's in my opinion.
Yeah.
And what goaltender can hold the four. What do you think, Dinkus?
I agree. I'm actually, the big storyline there that I'm looking to see is what the enforcer brings to the table. He's a good guy that was sitting with our...
He was actually on our bench for a while. Yep.
He may have a trying to find some spots. Yeah, you know, we were trying to find a spot for him to get some games in, and they picked him up off waivers, and, you know, he put up some points last week, so I'm sure he's going to come ready to play and want to do some damage to us. So it'll be a good game for the brothers to see how hungry they are versus how hungry Enforcer is.
Actually, we got about 5 minutes left. If you guys got to go to your games, Dinkus and Stout, go ahead. Me and Castro will carry on the show. I want to thank you guys for joining the show. We're going to be on the air. We've still got about 10 minutes left. Me and Castro will hold the fort down. Keep your radios tuned in before the game starts. But Dinkus, thanks for being a special guest tonight. And
hey, man, I'm here. I'm not
tonight.
Playing tonight, so I can
and,
stick around.
What the fuck? I'm not playing on Sunday night. What the fuck? Anyway, have fun. Thanks, buddy. Good luck tonight. And Snowman, it looks like you're arguing with your team about who didn't get as many games this week.
No, I'm good. They're good. They're ready to go.
You're not playing in the first game?
No.
I'm going to have to wait anyway.
Okay,
somebody
well,
with LG.
We can carry on. I've got about 10, 15 minutes left in the show. We'll go over. I might as well pay for the time, and people can listen to our sexy voices as they play the game. Let's talk about Toronto and Dallas. They're going to be playing in game two tonight. Looks like the Toronto Maple Leafs, again, are going to be putting out Enforcer. Boys, they're playing him hard. No pun intended. He likes it hard. Not really an exciting lineup over there. They got Sky if he shows up. Twisted Dreams are top players, and Snoopy on left wing. Snoopy, this is interesting. Snoopy's coming out of the pipes. He's going to play some forward. We all know Snoopy, as annoying as he can be or whatnot, he can still put pucks in the net when he wants to. He's is a fairly decent forward, so... really, I don't know who this Doan guy is. Looks like the Maple Leafs are going to give him a chance tonight. This will be his debut tonight. He was picked up off the waivers there earlier on in. So looks like nobody's really betting on this except for Lucic. He put $5,000 down on Dallas. I'm going to give this one to Dallas. What do you guys think?
I hope Dallas loses because that will be another loss for them, and that will help us in the standings. I actually think Toronto's going to win this. Not saying because I hope Dallas loses so I can stay above them. I think Toronto has the better lineup in. I think Smitty and them are going to, you know, tear a hole into them.
Into their what?
Yeah, whatever body part you would like.
Why in the fuck does it every day it comes up that it's Henderson's birthday? It's throwing me off. Anyway.
He's fucking Benjamin Button.
I know he is Benjamin Button. Nashville versus New Jersey Devils.
Except for he's digressing from a man to a woman.
You got the New Jersey Devils. Eichel, you're not even playing that game, but you got Dahmer out again. Offensive power versus an offensive power. Holmes rule freak and Hope's downfall. They're stepping up, and that's going to be a tough game for you guys. And you, I mean, Tyler hasn't been playing well, but I've been talking shit about him. So maybe this might be his night.
We have a defensive switch, so Zink and Shepard will be in that game. So the defense that's in that game will be in the Dallas game, and Zink and Shepard will be in the Nashville game now.
Hope you check that over with King. I hope King Manolis and King Direwolf are okay with that, because if they're not,
they're in the lobby, ready to play this game.
Anyway, it looks like it's even. Iceman's put some money down on you guys. I don't know why Iceman should throw it 1,000 because I don't think the odds are not. It's the odds are in the Nashville's favor on this one, but we'll see how that turns out. Big game tonight, Boston versus Montreal. Another big game. It'll be a close game. Firm same lineup as the first game versus pretty much one of their top lines for Boston. Smitty versus Kerdog. Dinkus, give us an idea what this game's going to look like.
I'm going to tell you right now, the brothers are coming out, and they're going to tear Boston apart. They've been itching for this game all week. Boston's got a great team, but I think the brothers of Diomedes, you can't beat, and the Firm Data have been looking for this one all week long and all throughout the weekend.
And
so Diomedes,
I'm going to tell you, man, he gets a little chatty in the chat box if he gets a win under his belt, so... He's chatty. The other two are pretty quiet, but D1, he's got a bit of a mouth on him. So, you know, if we can sneak a win out there, you can almost see his chirping will be going down in the chat box. So, but Lucci's can chirp with the best of them too. So, I'm going to put my favorite on Montreal. Nobody's bet on this yet. But if anything, it's either we'll either go to overtime, which we can't seem to win against Boston in overtime. They've got nobody can win against Boston overtime. They've got no overtime losses whatsoever. So I'm thinking 2-1 Montreal in regulation. That's my call.
Just look out for a time of attack. I guarantee it's going to be high. These guys got a little chirping. Boston got a little chirping in earlier in the week, and they really set our guys off. So I have a feeling it's going to be go time.
Excellent. And the last game of the night, the Winnipeg Jets and the Chicago Blackhawks, old versus new, Kessel versus Iceman, yada, yada, yada. Iceman's going to be in the pipes. Rubble's going to be in the pipes. No Kessel in the game. They picked up Brace Robin on a trade this week. Will that be a trade for them that's going to work out for them? Hard to say. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to give because Disco's playing forward in this game, I'm going to give Chicago the win on this one. Just because I don't like the looks of that forward lineup with Disco there. So, I think this Nazi guy is going to be put some hurt into these guys. So I'm going to give the overall on that to Chicago. What about you, Caster?
I would probably go Jets. Never mind. Just looked inside Disco playing forward.
That's what I said.
I just don't know how, like, Nazi, Swift King, you know what I mean? Like, Chicago's making a lot of adjustments with that forward line this week, I think. And that's going to be kind of interesting to see how that meshes together. Hopefully, if Chicago wants any chance in that game, Rebel has got to come out and stop some pucks because he has not been, you know what I mean, over the last week or so, he has not been doing it. So I still give it to the Jets. Again, Dustin and Resnick are pretty good, and I think the defensive back end of Winnipeg is a lot stronger than the Chicago one. So probably still give it to the Jets.
What about you, Dink?
I'm going to probably have to lean toward the Jets in this one just because looking at Chicago's lineup, I don't know how much chemistry is there. They got a couple new guys coming in. I'm going to have to give it to the Jets.
So interesting to say. Now, I just want to make a quick little observation here. Since we've started this season, we're now into April. We've got a few weeks left. Looking at just scrolling down the schedule here, so far we've only had 2 forfeits on Sunday night this season thus far. Remember last season, Caster? Sunday nights were chock full of forfeits, so perhaps the whole we don't give a fuck about LG attitude seems to be sticking through. So there you have it. There's our games for the night. What do you guys want to talk about?
Why don't you said you were going to talk about the trades this week. You could do that if you'd like.
We did talk about trades. I talked to them as we were talking about teams, but really trades have been really not except for the beginning of the season when somebody trade away AT and Hones. That's been the only exciting trade moves that there's been all week, in my opinion. I mean, maybe they'll get more exciting. Hard to say, but there really hasn't been anything exciting.
There hasn't been any big blockbusters by any means. It's just been a lot of mid-level range being moved from mid-level range. And most of it just to free up salary cap or roster space, pretty much for the most part.
Exactly. I mean, the biggest one this week, maybe Black and Bob or Swift King, Robin and Sniper. That might be the biggest trade on the block this week. Like I said, Bassani. I mean, you're trading undressed for undressed here. I mean, it's not exciting here. Miz was a big trade there last week, but really nothing has really given me a boner. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's really given me wood on the trades. What we need to see is something like a Fox book trade or a Henderson trade or something of that nature, a Holmes rule move or something like that. That's a blockbuster trade. So here's if Chicago sits, if they have a shitty week this week, you're going to see a blockbuster trade come out of Chicago. You guys agree?
See, the thing is, a lot of their bigger players are friends with the management. I just don't see it happening.
I think if they have another bad week, they don't have a choice. They have to do it.
I just don't see it unless one of them actually asks for a trade.
Well, Rap got a little bit off the record, which is now on the record. But, you know, I mean, the reins are pretty tight on him about making moves over on that team. But now Rap God's making moves, and he don't give a fuck. And he's a loose cannon, as we all know. He is a loose cannon. He has the potential to, you know, do dumb shit without asking people or whatever. And I think that if they play have a shitty week this week like they did, I think you're going to see some big trades moved over there, big time. They have to.
Yeah.
But the question is...
There's obviously been a need to. It's whether or not they're open to, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, here's the question. They may make the trades and want to make the trades, but do the other teams need those big guys? That's the question.
Yeah.
Do they need a Foxbrook? Do they need a Henderson? I know Montreal doesn't. Montreal's got what they need. I know Boston doesn't need any make any moves. They've got their playoff team set, in my opinion. You might see Winnipeg make moves. You might see Toronto. You might see Dallas. But as far as the top three teams, I mean, I think if there's going to be a blockbuster trade, it's going to be between Chicago and New Jersey. You know what I mean? Could we see Kastner go to Chicago? Could we?
Well, to be honest with you, I had some center problems a couple weeks ago, but I solidified that this week. So definitely no Foxbrook here, and or Henderson. So
yeah,
at
but
least
you
not
gotta
here,
make
anyways.
If you sit the same, you're in the same position as Chicago. If you have your week goes shitty just as much as Chicago does, you got to make moves too.
I don't think I'm going to have a shitty week. I think the boys are ready to go. I think we'll be fine.
You said that you weren't going to have a shitty week last week.
We'll be fine.
And you did. What?
We'll be fine.
Let's hypothetically look at it. Let's say you go 3-5 again this week.
Yeah.
You've got $6 million in cap. Dallas miraculously, you know, how many times you faced Dallas this week? A couple times?
Two tonight, and then Wednesday, I think.
Okay, so let's say Dallas and Toronto. Dallas has a phenomenal week this week and goes, you know, 5-3. You guys go 3-5. They make quite a significant jump in the standings. Put you maybe 8 points, 9 points out with 2 weeks left. You got to make some big moves. You got to, because trade deadline's that week. You got to. You have to make the moves.
Yeah, I think it was the return of Zinke Poo. He was suspended all last week. That was one of our better defensemen, if not one of the best defensemen on our team. The addition of, Dahmer getting another week under his belt, Quasar getting an actual full week under his belt. There's still potential to get someone tomorrow if we choose to. Yeah, I think you'll see a way better week this week than the previous weeks. Am I going to guarantee a fucking undefeated week? No. But I think we'll definitely – I'd be very surprised if we don't end out of this week with at least a winning record for the week. You know what I mean? So we're a significantly different team this week than last week with Zinke Poo coming back. And he completely bolsters our defense from what we did have. It was to the point where I actually had to play defense a couple times last week. So, I think it'll be –
You can view that game right now. It's on – I feel the game of the week. We're streaming that now. The New Jersey Devils and the Dallas Stars. Game's just getting ready to go underway. And it'll be interesting to see who. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Both teams are excited. But I tend to agree you guys have a. I don't say you have a completely different team. You definitely have a different team. But who's to say that, you know, Montreal and Boston might still try to move someone to just to, you know, tweak up those lines. But, you know, it all comes down to availability. I mean, next week. One of your top guys can come to you and say, fuck, man, I can't play for the next 2 weeks, and I might not be able to play the first round of the playoffs. So what do you do? What do you do? You got to make moves. So anything can happen.
I keep trying to trade Seabass, but Kastner won't let me.
What's that?
Yeah, you can't trade your owner.
I keep trying to trade Seabass, but Kastner won't let me.
Yeah, well, we don't want to take the sex appeal out of Montreal. So. When Seabass talks in that locker room, fucking Lacara's panties get wet. You can't fucking stop that. He's actually playing. He's actually playing defense for a season.
I see you want
to go into a game unaroused. That is terrible when he's unaroused.
The force
is
like all day.
I'll have to share the sexiness with some. He can be the team sexist, but the voice of the voice of the XOHL, the radio man himself. is, you know, I've been asked to be syndicated in other league sites. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Oh, God.
Just saying. And no, it's not Gaming Rendo.
I thought I was going to say gay porn tube or whatever, red tube.
How do you know what that's called?
I don't know. I've wandered on the site. You can't. You know, you type in one letter, all of a sudden the shit pops out.
Give me a fucking break.
All right, now I'm going to end the show on this note because I don't want to listen to fucking buddy Stoutman going off in his party there. But I want to thank my guest Castor Pollock. Get on here earlier. Next time, I want to thank Dinkins.
Well,
I want to be able to
let you guys actually talk, and then. When I started getting into the Montreal Fuckfest, I started losing my erection. I was like, oh, God, I got to call in.
It wasn't a Montreal Fuckfest. Haters can hate. That's all I got to say about that. Haters can hate.
I just answered questions.
Yeah, I know. They're just mad. They're not at the top. Anyway,
you know what? It doesn't matter
guys.
What you do in the beginning of the season. It matters how you finish. Hoping we're ready to go coming to the end of this. Right.
Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, good luck to you guys this week on the air, and
Hello.
We'll be back again next week to talk about how last week went. Thanks for calling in, guys, and thanks for co-hosting the show. We'll see you next week.
Hey,
and,
we never announced fucking captains for the All-Star team, Ding Dong. Weren't you supposed to do that?
We haven't talked about it yet, Ding Dong.
Well, you said we were going to talk about it tonight on the show, and you fucking dropped the ball.
Well, I said you and I were going to talk about it. You and I are going to talk about it.
Oh, baby.
We'll talk about it later. We'll let you know.
Okay.
It'll be announced. All right, guys.
Okay. Yeah, catch you later.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
I love that.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees. They travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.